We welcome you back to the Two Guys Named Chris show. I owe Biggie an apology. This is the segment where we have Lawyer Up. Our official attorney, Lisa Lanier, joins us. Every week at this time, it's been that way for years. I always say, Lisa's coming up. We go to commercial break. Biggie calls Lisa. That's how it goes.
It happens every day.
Every Friday. Every Friday, yes.
For like years, clockwork.
Like clockwork. Today, Biggie did not call her within the first 30 seconds he had, and I said, Biggie! Lisa! And he said, I'm dialing now.
You don't know is that Biggie was furiously working to correct some glitches in the upcoming Bizarro Put Up or Shut Up contest.
He's like a duck. You're like a duck.
I don't know if that's an insult or a compliment. Or with you, it could be the same.
You're calm up top. You're working furiously below the waters, below the water surface.
What you don't see.
What you don't see is the man does nothing but work. And all I do to him is
bark.
Bark
orders.
Bark and berate. And that's how you get your best out of your team.
And you don't even say my name. You just go, Lisa! Lisa! Okay, it's been 30 seconds.
30 seconds.
Now, here's a real leader of humans.
A leader.
A woman who knows how to run a business.
A business leader who knows how to run a business. Lisa, welcome to this program.
Hello. You know what? You don't have to worry about Biggie. He is spot on. He is always on it.
I'll be the judge of that.
Well, Lisa, save your breath. He's going to erase it from the replays anyways of this. Take out the part where she compliments you.
Yeah, I'll make him do it.
Yeah.
I'll make him edit out that piece where she says.
Leave the part where I call you a duck.
Right. A duck.
That's right.
You know, we need to, I know it's maybe a tad early, but we're talking with someone who loves Halloween.
Oh, yes.
Lisa, have you picked out your costume for this year?
Last year, she was over the hill Hooters girl.
That's right.
I love the pubic hair.
Don't ever say that.
What are you doing this year, Lisa? My goodness.
This year, oh my God, this is like, it's really terrible. It's off color. I'm sorry. It's, I'm a P. Diddy freak off accessory kit.
Oh my God. Lisa. Lisa.
No.
Objection.
I found a life size lubricant bottle.
Oh.
Objection.
I thought this could
sustained.
I thought it could.
Oh no, you know, I get all into this. I've got my non-disclosure agreements. I've got the JV album. I might even throw in a little bit of Justin Bieber's pubes just for fun.
Oh my God.
It gets worse.
This is unbelievable. Okay. Right. Listen.
Okay.
Speaking of which, we have a couple of questions. One is about a celebrity who's been accused of something. It's not Diddy. It's Garth Brooks. We had a conversation earlier this week. Now, Garth Brooks, he's been accused of rape, all sorts of horrible accusations. He went on to his live stream from Studio G and spoke for 25 minutes and only referenced this for a brief time, but he did say the name of the accuser, who up until now had been a Jane Doe, and he got a lot of flack for that, for saying the name of the accuser in his live stream. My wife was suggesting that perhaps since his name had been mentioned in court documents, he could mention her name because they were also in the court document. Has he done anything illegal by doing that, Lisa, by revealing who she is?
Not a crime, not a criminal illegal, but in civil court, he is facing a motion for sanctions for doing that. Now, the interesting thing is, just like your wife said, she's really good at her legal analysis.
Oh, yeah.
All that crime stuff she follows. Yeah,
oh,
but,
yes.
So he said, look, you know, I asked the court to keep us both anonymous, to have us both be, you know, Jane Doe, John Doe, whatever. And I don't know if the judge had ruled on that. I couldn't find that anywhere, but she went ahead and named him. So it didn't get sealed for as to his name. And so he just was like, well, if I'm going to be named, you're going to be named. And so he, you know, punched back at her with that. He is coming out swinging like no other celebrity I have ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, absolutely, you know, counterclaims and this is false and kind of a bizarre little talk he gave on his weekly podcast with fans, you know, where he starts off talking about the elephant in the room. It was interesting to watch. But I don't know, you know, the text messages that I have seen that she has released haven't been that damning to me. I mean, there might have been something, you know, she's claiming that they nicknamed his genitals Roosevelt. So there's some talk about that. So maybe that is. But
Franklin or Theodore?
My gosh.
Yeah, right. I don't know.
So is he talking about Roosevelt in the text? Is he mentioning Roosevelt?
So there is, I think, a talk about that. And she says it's what's going on in the text. But, you know, he says that's not what's going on in the text. So I don't know. It's going to be a really interesting trial. And it's going to come down to, of course, evidence and what the jury believes. And she claims that the most damning text messages that he took her phone and deleted them. Mm. But, I believe that with the right forensic help, she can, you know, a technology expert on that, I think she may be able to recover those.
Yeah, I think so.
So, I mean, certainly, you know, who knows? I mean, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. But, I mean, certainly, you know, it's very unusual to name the victim. And it's considered taboo to do that. You're not supposed to do that. You know, it's obviously it takes a lot of courage to come forward if something like this has happened. And, you know, you don't do that. I mean, it's just
right,
not done.
Right,
so
right,
he's,
right.
You know, the judge may well sanction him for it because I'm sure he knew it was out of bounds.
Do you, Lisa, this may be an unfair question, but from where we are now, obviously it's fairly early. Do you anticipate a settlement or do you anticipate a courtroom trial?
You know, it sounds like he is really, like, you know, loaded for bear. I'm going to go to
dug
trial.
In. Yeah.
Dug in. And she's been trying to settle with him, according to Brooks, for a long time. He said she was extorting money from him. But I think if he, you know, if he was going to settle it, he would have done that before before all this leaked out.
You know what my wife's prediction is? This is not on the legal end of it, but she thinks, and this is only her hypothesis, she thinks they had a consensual sexual relationship. And the woman is trying to extort him for money, and he had to eventually go to Miss Tricia, Miss Yearwood.
His wife,
and say, look, I had sex with this woman. She's going to make all these claims. And Miss Yearwood has decided to stand by him.
I made pie with another.
Well, you know, supposedly Tricia Yearwood and Garth Brooks made a pact years ago when they got married. Like a contract almost, that, you know, that they would, no matter what happened, that, you know, stuff's going to come our way. We're going to step in stuff. Mm. We're going to stand by each other no matter what.
Mm-hmm. I have tasted another's cobbler.
Roosevelt was hungry.
Maybe. Could be.
Well, there's your next year's costume, Roosevelt. Well,
there you go.
There you go.
here's our other question now. This is also timely. If you're this guy went viral this week, known as Florida's Lieutenant Dan, the real Lieutenant Dan. He lived on a boat in Tampa, and of course, the hurricane Milton came through, and they warned him, "Get out, get out, get out." He only had one leg, and he just said, "No, I'm not leaving my boat. I'm staying on." He did stay on it, from what we hear. He survived the hurricane, but what we ask is, if you're in, let's say, a house, and the authorities realize, look, the storm surge is going to cause massive flooding, there's going to be heavy winds, a hurricane is coming, a Category 4 or 5 hurricane, and they demand you evacuate, if you are stubborn enough to say, absolutely not, I'm staying put, can you ever actually be forced by the government, the local government, to leave your home? Or is that against the law for them to do, Lisa?
So you can be, but it's rarely enforced, and it depends on the jurisdiction. Mm-hmm. Like when North Carolina issues a mandatory evacuation, there is no penalty built in. There is no criminal penalty built into those mandates, typically never. But in Texas, they always include that you can be fined, imprisoned, just a whole litany of things that can happen to you. They put a criminal sanction if you don't obey. It just depends on the jurisdiction, but even in Texas, I don't think they really enforce that. I mean, because the idea, I think, is the mandatory evacuation, tell you how serious it is, tell you that nobody's coming for you. You know, the emergency personnel are leaving, too.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you get out here and you're floating around on your mattress, ain't nobody coming for you.
Right.
Nice. Yeah.
So,
yep.
You know,
that's
so
right.
That's really a lot of what that's about.
And then at that point, government officials, if they're so inclined, they get so angry, they turn up the hurricane. We can, you know, because they control it.
Right, exactly.
They direct the hurricane towards.
That is true.
They target the
that
weather.
That is true. President Biden addressed that last night.
Things are getting even more bizarre. Marjorie Taylor Greene, the congresswoman from Georgia, is now saying the federal government is literally controlling the weather. We're controlling the weather. It's beyond ridiculous. It's so stupid. It's got to stop.
I'd like to thank them for sending us a nice weekend. Looks like we got a pretty good one on tap.
Yeah. So it must have been good.
Yeah.
Well, we've been through enough. The next story involves Halloween. Now, it's from England, but a woman there named Caroline Ashley, she's 41, really gets into the spirit of Halloween, much like our own Lisa Lanier, who's already revealed her disgusting costume for this year. Her absolutely objectionable costume. Her repulsive costume for this year. Well, this woman gets into it and decorates her home, even in late September. And so she was stunned. She's in Liverpool. When authorities came to her home and said, your neighbors are offended by this. We're going to have to ask you, take this down. Her own kids, she said, love it. They're not scared of it. So she was really shocked by it. The thing they seemed to object to most was body bags that she has in her yard. You know, she has all sorts of displays, but including body bags. And so they're making her take those away. Do you know in the U.S., could that happen? Could a neighbor complain and they make you take away your Halloween decorations, Lisa?
No, it's pretty unheard of in the U.S. for anything like that to happen. I mean, certainly HOAs can restrict, you know, lights and decorations and the timing of them, but they have to be reasonable, and usually it's not a complete prohibition, but more like you can only put them up through this date to this date and that kind of thing. That's what we see in the U.S. But in the U.K., they're not big fans of Halloween.
Hmm.
And these people are very much in the minority, this lady is, who is enjoying her Halloween decorating, and they even have a law that you can be fined up to 5,000 euros or pounds is when the law was originally enacted for excessive displays or loud or offensive displays. And so I think that's what she got complained on, the offensive display.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, so it's a thing there. They don't really go for it that much. But, you know, it sounds like her neighbors are really on her side, and you know, everybody came to her defense, and they were calling this other person a Karen, and you know, all that mess. But whoever complained on her, but yeah, it's a big thing in the UK. They're not into Halloween, and they don't like a lot of crazy decorating.
Yeah, I guess not.
Did not know that.
I'm shocked. I wasn't. Well, because you know, I've been to your Halloween parties, Lisa, and your
Ragers.
Oh my God, the displays! You go all out. That Halloween party is fun, and she goes all out. That Hooter Girl thing last year, man, that got away with me.
That turned heads.
And I stomachs. Think, well, you know, yeah. The boobs were like down to my knees, I think.
Yeah, you know, they were. I said, golly. We saw you from across the yard. I said, what is Lisa's supposed to be here?
Who is that? Does Lisa know she's here?
That is Lisa.
My wife said, I think that's Lisa. I said, no.
She would never.
I said, she's so classy. She's too classy to do anything like that. There's her boobs right down to her knees.
Too classy. Yeah. And then this year you'll see me coming across giant bottle of lube.
That's right. Giant bottle of lube. I can't wait for it. We make it a point to go every year. I'll tell you that. Now, this is from the United States. Some Southern California women are upset. They were flying from Los Angeles to New Orleans on a Friday a couple of weeks ago. Tara Keady and Carla Hager. They were on a flight along with Teresa Arullo. Now, two of them were together. And on this flight, apparently it was very hot while they were sitting on the tarmac. And so they took off their sweaters and were wearing only crop tops underneath. So the crop tops.
Because the plane was stuck on the tarmac?
Yes. Plane stuck on tarmac. You know, it gets hot on a plane. So the two women took off their crop tops and a flight attendant came over and said, this is inappropriate.
The same way that sleepwear is something that you wear when you want to sleep.
Sorry. That's the wrong clue. Anyhow, so the women are on the tarmac. They take off their sweaters. They've got the crop tops on. A flight attendant comes over and says, you've got to put on some sweaters. And they were like, what are you talking about? This is crop tops. Well, eventually they were forced off. And another woman who was not even with them said, if they're getting off, I'm getting off. Like woman power, you know? Now, do they have any legal right?
Hops off, ladies.
Because they were delayed and had to spend $1,000 on a Delta flight a few hours later. They were delayed in getting to New Orleans, and one of them was having a bachelorette party down there, or a 30th birthday party, I should say. So what is their recourse here, Lisa? Does the airline in question, Spirit, owe them $1,000?
You know, according to the regulations, the airlines and Spirit is standing behind their flight attendant on this. The airlines can deny passage to anyone who is barefoot, wearing inadequate clothing, or lewd or obscene or offensive clothing.
Mm-hmm.
And so they are saying, look, these ladies were inadequately dressed. Their, you know, outfits were lewd, and we thought it would be a problem.
Yeah. Mm.
It's a very bizarre. I'm surprised. And I didn't think I saw a picture of the ladies. I didn't think their tops were all that unusual. You know, I mean, they really covered up everything, you know, and including their midriff. You know, they were sort of, to me, they looked more like they were wearing like a camisole or something, and they took their sweater off.
Biggie did a deep dive as
Biggie,
well.
Biggie has
What do you think, Biggie? I mean, they were, it was not distasteful, was it?
No, not at all.
Not only were they dressed skimpily, it was a hot, sweaty flight.
Oh, yeah.
It was hot, right. Yeah, I think this is, and maybe this is why Spirit doesn't perform so well, you know, economically.
In the reviews.
You
know, I'm with you. I didn't think they looked that scantily clad. Now, they're attractive women, okay? Now, the one that joined in with them, she was like, woman power, and she had a toddler, and the toddler got off the plane. And the flight attendant was male, and she was like, how dare you, you know, with your manhood, make us get off this plane. But
they're called boobs. Deal with it.
That's right. They did, though. They did. But do you think they signed something, you know, when they signed all the paperwork online to get the ticket saying we're going to conform?
And it's absolutely subjective. They're going to conform to the airline standards, and their standards say, you know, no shoes, you know, not any
surprise.
Inadequate clothing. You're off the plane.
It's a big surprise to me. Quick one here. I don't think this guy's going to have a case, but we thought maybe. It was a terrible story. A guy named John O'Neill, who has had issues with drugs. He's been in prison, but he's got his life right now. He was doing some work, and he had to wear an ankle monitor in Colorado, for the state of Colorado. He was working with a wood chipper, and one of the limbs that he fed into the wood chipper looped back and got him underneath the ankle monitor, dragging him into the wood chipper. Whew. He lost both legs. Chris Dim did the story in the Dim Report. I was hoping that the ankle monitor would stop the blades. It did not.
Right through it.
Right through it and took his legs. And he says, I'm going to use it as a source of strength, and I'm going to go on and say, you know, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, and still try to get people into recovery and all those things. But we wonder, is there any chance that because it was the ankle monitor somehow at fault here? Can he sue anybody? Can he get any sort of recourse here, Lisa?
No, I mean, he was on the job when it happened, so he'll have a workers' compensation claim.
Yep.
And if the wood chipper malfunctioned or there were inadequate warnings, which are not likely to be the case because, I mean, this is what wood chippers do, you know, and there's usually a bunch of warnings, then, you know, if there was something malfunctioning with the wood chipper, then he could potentially have a products liability claim. But I heard nothing in the in the description that said anything like that happened. So we'll have a workers' comp claim. And, you know, I think he should write a country and western song about it because it doesn't get much more classic than, you know, you finally get out of prison, he probably found Jesus, whatever, and then his ankle monitor sucks him into a wood chipper machine.
Oh, my God. Yeah. The poor man.
You couldn't write that as a fiction.
No. When the word wood chipper comes up,
I know
it's never good. It's just never
good. You know this, if you deal with wood chipper machines, be careful. I've had several clients. I had a client who worked for a big lumber company, and he got sucked into one by his arm. His sleeve. He was wearing a big flannel, one of those coat jacket things, and his sleeve got caught up in a limb, and it caught his jacket, and then that pulled. That got his hair. He had long hair back in a braid. His braid got caught in there. And I mean, by the time before they cut the machine off, it had taken his arm and his scalp and part of his brain.
But he lived.
Dude,
really?
Yeah.
I can't believe it.
I think there should be kill switches like all along the way. You know, like, as you're being dragged.
A lot of them, they do. Well, they do have them, but you know, the machine doesn't know.
Yeah.
So somebody has to operate the kill switch because that's where you really need to have somebody around that can help you. But like with this guy on the story, he said nobody could hear him screaming because they're all wearing ear protection.
That's right.
Yeah,
he did. You're right. They should. It
should be a two-person job.
Exactly. You should have a spotter, you know, always ready to hit.
Unless they are and they didn't do it. I don't know.
Well, they couldn't hear him, as you said. They couldn't hear. But I don't think they do usually because it's usually a guy will be sucked in, and we've heard about it.
It's usually one guy,
That's
there's
right.
people around, but they're not standing
they don't get there in time.
And they have, they have more than one kill switch. Like, a lot of them have three or four kill switches. I mean, they're very, you know, they're very aware of how dangerous these things are.
Yeah.
There's your costume for next year, Lisa.
Exactly.
Wood chipper operator. Lisa Lanier, our official attorney of the Two Guys Named Chris Show. You can find her online, LanierLawGroup.com. She's present there, HireHeavyweight.com. Fantastic report as always, Lisa. Thank you.
Have a great weekend.
There you go. You too. Here we go. Let's play Put Up or Shut Up, rock and roll trivia, bizarro style today. You'll play me, Chris Kelly, at 866-470-2GNC. Caller 12's a player. Two Guys Named Chris show. Rock 92. It's powered by Crescent Ford of High Point and CrescentFord.com. Phone number I gave you, the ImprovementStore.com phone line. Protect your home and family with a new custom-built wood privacy fence under $70 a month. And today we're playing for $70. I got $35. Lisa doubles the pot on Friday. So $70. 10-